Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
In the days since Queen Elizabeth II's death, residents of Britain's former colonies are reflecting on the Queen's legacy. Canada will observe a federal holiday during the state funeral for the Queen on Monday. But some Canadian residents will not spend the day in mourning. Here to fill us in on Quebec's mixed reactions of the Queen's passing is CBC Montreal reporter Kate McKenna. Kate, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Kate, so let's just start with each of the Canadian territories has been under British power at various times in history, including Quebec. What is the relationship between Quebec and the monarchy today?
Well, Quebec has always had a trickier relationship with the monarchy compared to the rest of the country. It is definitely the province that has the most kind of awkward relationship with the monarchy. And that, of course, is because Quebec hundreds of years ago was a French colony and up until now has worked really hard to maintain a Francophone identity. The popularity of the Queen and the Crown here has kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the years. And of course, there are about a million Anglophones who live here who are very vocally supportive of the Queen. But the distrust of the concept of the Crown goes all the way back to colonial days here in Quebec. And you really, I'm going to go through several hundred years of history really quickly, but here in Quebec, Great Britain conquered New France and imposed British colonial rule over French-speaking Canada. Then in the early 20th century, English-speaking Quebecers were often kind of the boss class, like the higher class here in Quebec, and so then we had what's called the Quiet Revolution, where the French-speaking majority decided to become what they called the masters of their own house and nationalize different things like electricity, pensions, other things. And that was around the same time that the Parti Québécois was formed, which has the goal of Quebec separating from Canada. So there's always been some tension between Quebec and the rest of Canada, and kind of by extension between Quebec and the monarchy, largely because Francophones have worked really hard to keep their Francophone identity. And now Quebec has sort of become this French-speaking island of North America. And I think that when the Queen died, you know, there is a lot of respect for the Queen, the person, but a lot of people here in Quebec were kind of asking the question, okay, so now what? We're a constitutional monarchy, but what does that give Quebec? And do we relate to that? I think a lot of people were answering no to that question.
Now, is there a difference in support for the monarchy between English-speaking Canada and French-speaking Canada? Can you just elaborate
Definitely.
On that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the concept of the monarchy is less popular in Quebec compared to the rest of Canada. And there are, you know, decades of polling that suggests so much. Polling often describes Quebecers as fairly indifferent to the monarchy. But I would like to say that it's not like the rest of Canada is unanimously supportive of being a constitutional monarchy, which is what we are. Over the years, there have been multiple calls to cut Canada's ties to the monarchy because, of course, we do pay millions of dollars every year to the monarchy. But it's actually really difficult. It would be really, really hard for Canada to cut those ties because to open the constitution here, you have to get unanimous agreement from every province. So it's often seen as really difficult to make major changes like that. And there are different provinces that have more of a tie to the monarchy, let's say. Like we think of the Western provinces. The Queen is very popular out there. People really relate to, us at one point having been a colony of England and really relate to the Queen's kind of reputation for being, you know, devoted to her work and steadfast and tradition and all of those things. Those opinions exist more in the western part of the country than here in Quebec. And that's kind of one of the tricky things about Canada. It's this giant place and, you know, views and stuff differ depending on where you are in the country. Probably the same for you guys down south.
So Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a federal holiday on Monday the day of the Queen's state funeral. That means it's a holiday for federal workers, including bank and airline employees. Each province was left to decide if they wanted to extend the holiday to all workers. Quebec's premier decided not to. He says it will not be a day of commemoration, but not a public holiday in Quebec. Can you give us some insight into what his reasoning for that might be?
Yeah, it was kind of a funny thing. It was like first Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was like, yeah, it's a federal holiday and we're going to try and get the provinces on board. So it's not just for federal employees. It's for, you know, all employees. And within like minutes, Premier François Legault was like, no, that's not going to happen here. I think the big thing is, as I've mentioned, Quebecers don't, you know, there's a lot of respect for the Queen, the person, but they don't see it as a priority to take the day off to mourn her. It's not a top of mind issue. I also think another big element of that is that Quebec happens to be in an election right now. And Legault is a leader who is openly nationalistic, which is to say he's all about promoting Quebec. He's all about promoting that Francophone identity. And sometimes his detractors say that he kind of does that at the expense of other groups like the minority Anglophones and people of other non-Francophone backgrounds. So it would be very off-brand for François Legault to be like, yes, we are all mourning the Queen, let's take the day off. That would be perceived as a funny thing to do here. But he did give an actual rationale, and the rationale that he gave was that students can't miss school. He's referencing to how schools were closed for big chunks of the pandemic here. So that is what he said. But I think the undertones were certainly that Quebec, which is a proudly Francophone place that relates probably in many ways more to France than to England, is not going to take a day off to celebrate the Queen of England.
The Parti Québécois criticized Legault for lowering the Quebec flag to half-mast after the Queen's death. After some Québécois who think her death should not be commemorated or honored.
Definitely.
I guess, are there?
Yeah, no, for sure there are. So this is very in the weeds, but the Quebec is technically the head of state of Canada. The Queen is rather the head of state of Canada. The flag was lowered. It was a big deal here just from a constitutional perspective. But certainly Quebec nationalists are not lining up to commemorate the death of the Queen. And again, I do want to highlight that it's not necessarily a criticism of the woman. It's more about the crown and what the crown represents. And for portions of the population here, including the First Nations, the Inuit, the Métis, as well as the Québécois, the crown represents a sort of oppressive force. And so, there is a little bit of not ill will, but just like a sense that maybe now is not the time to be celebrating kind of what the role of the crown in Canadian, in the scope of Canada. But of course, then there are the monarchists who feel differently. So I would say, though, that it is definitely a fair thing to say that there are probably a considerable number of Québécois who feel her death should not be commemorated or honored in any particular way.
Speaking of the role of the monarchy still does have some representation in Canadian government. Each of the 10 provinces has a lieutenant governor who represents the Queen. Can you describe this position for our American listeners who aren't familiar with it?
Wow, you really know your stuff.
Google's a good friend.
So we do have, in Canada, for whatever reason, we pronounce it lieutenant governor. So we have lieutenant governors who kind of serve as the Queen's official proxy. They do things such as oversee our legislatures, because the way it works is whenever you pass a law here in Canada, you have to get what's called royal assent, which is essentially permission from the Queen, now I guess the King. And so the lieutenant governors are in charge of that. But I think they're largely viewed as playing a ceremonial role. For instance, the way that it actually plays out is your guys' Senate is elected. Our Senate is appointed, and they're also kind of a proxy for the Queen, the sober second thought mentality. And so they kind of function in a way that is supposed to make things less partisan. and make sure that there is that so-called sober second thought. And that's all part of being a constitutional monarchy. But yeah, the lieutenant governors, they do some important things, but they also do a lot of like garden parties and that sort of thing, maintaining the role that Canada has or the relationship that Canada has with the monarchy. So that's kind of what they do. It's not as big a deal here in Quebec as it is in other provinces, where sometimes there are tours of the houses or you know, they take on a more prominent role. Here, it's a fairly, no offense to whoever our lieutenant governor is, but it's a fairly muted position.
Where do you see the future of the lieutenant governor in Quebec?
Where do I see the future of him or her? You know, it's a good question. I think they have to keep them, whoever. I hate to say I don't know who it is, but that kind of gives you like a sense of how it's not seen to be a very important role here in Quebec. But I don't think that they can change that position. I think that position needs to continue to exist unless we open our constitution and change how our form of government works, which, as I mentioned, is a challenging thing to do because all of the provinces have to agree to it. So it's, I mean, you're doing a great job of highlighting kind of the strange the strange and intricate ways that our government works up here. For the most part, it works pretty well, but the Queen dying, I think a lot of people are wondering why exactly do we function the way we function, and are there things that can be changed going forward?
And have you heard Legault's response, or how's he talking about the future of the lieutenant governors?
Oh, of the lieutenant governors or of the monarchy in general? His response has been fairly muted. It's been, as I mentioned, we're on a campaign right now. So it's been like, we're commemorating the Queen. Thank you for the Queen. We appreciate it. And this has actually been kind of consistent across Canada for the most part. Like, we thank her for her loyalty and duty. She came to Canada more than anybody else, or more than any other province or any other country when she was the Queen. So it's a lot of like thanking her for her service, but sometimes actions speak louder than words. And the fact that he immediately said no to giving Quebecers the day off to mourn her kind of says everything that I think you need to understand about how Quebec feels about the Queen and the monarchy.
Now, I want to take a step back, and I'm curious how Indigenous groups are reacting to the Queen's death, since in many ways the monarchy is closely tied to Britain's dark history of colonialism. Have you spoken to any Indigenous leaders about their reflections on the Queen's legacy?
Yes, we have. In fact, we spoke with the Assembly of First Nations here in Quebec, the leader of that, who said something similar to what we're hearing in different parts of the country, which is that, again, they thank the Queen for her service, but also Canada needs to step back and take a look at what our relationship is with the monarchy. Think about, you know, what we want it to be going forward. And for First Nations groups, a lot of the priority is, you know, having actual nation-to-nation discussions and feeling like their voices are equal to that of Canada, right? That it's not anybody imposing anything on them, but that it's an actual discussion among two equal nations. And that's something that they've been asking for a long time now. And they're calling on, you know, this period, not the immediate aftermath of the Queen, but Queen dying, but in the days that follow, you know, taking a closer look at that and seeing how things could change.
Do you know, like, what change looks like? I mean, you talked about wanting to have more communication between the Indigenous nations. What, I guess, are they asking for anything specific when it comes to being part of those conversations and making that happen? Like, are there tangible asks?
Not that we've seen a rise so far. I think that we probably will in the next little bit. I do think that part of the messaging has been, you know, the Queen just died, so let's wait a few days in terms of making actual requests or that sort of thing. But yeah, it's definitely those groups are definitely groups that I'm sure the Canadian government will want to have at the table when it comes to next steps.
Now, here in the United States, there are discussions of reparations. indigenous and black, brown people getting paid back or getting some type of financial gain or money from the government because of, you know, the dark history that we have. Are there any discussions like that in Canada?
Not to the same extent that they are happening in the United States. In Canada, we kind of consume American news because there is so much of it in it, and it's such a big, there's so much media that comes out of the States, and we're so little compared to you guys. But the discussions that I'm hearing are not essentially about reparations per se, but about similar themes without actually calling them reparations. For instance, the 70s scoop was an instance, was a thing that happened where Indigenous children were taken away from their parents and adopted by often white parents. And there was a lawsuit a couple years ago, and the victims of the 60s, or 60s scoop rather, not the 70s scoop, won and got a monetary compensation for that. And I think there are a few cases like that winding their ways through the courts. But the concept of reparations is something you hear in lefty circles in Montreal and other parts of Canada, but it's not really part of the mainstream discourse in the way that it is in the States.
And what other types of conversations about the Queen and her legacy have you been hearing? Are Canadians embracing the idea of King Charles, or are they thinking that it's time to end the monarchy connection to Canada?
Those are big questions, right? One thing that's been kind of nice in the last week is hearing a lot of people who have met Queen Elizabeth and spoken with her and had kind of nice or poignant moments with her that they wanted to then share, because, as I mentioned, she did come to Canada a lot. I think that polling indicates that Queen Elizabeth is more popular than now King Charles. It's kind of crass to put it that way, right? Because it's her son, and he acceded to the throne because she died. So it's kind of weird in that context. But certainly monarchists will be looking at finding ways to promote the monarchy in the context of knowing that Charles is less popular, right? So we have seen, like, William and Kate are very modern in a lot of ways. They are on Instagram a lot. William and Kate are both very, very popular and are very in the public and have their pictures taken a lot. I almost feel like part of the strategy for monarchists is promoting that because it is kind of harder to sell 73-year-old King Charles. But I guess we'll see. There have been calls in the opinion pages of the newspapers in the last few days to end our ties to the monarchy. It is really hard to do that. It's not impossible, but there needs to be a real groundswell of people and a real almost unanimity in Canada. And I don't think we're there yet. We might never be there. They're complicated questions. But, I mean, the Queen and now the King are everywhere in Canada, right? They're on our money. They're on our legal documents. They're almost inescapable. You don't even realize it until you're looking for it, all of the things that have now had to change from Queen to King now that Queen Elizabeth has died. I think that during that change, Canadians will be unpacking a little bit how they feel about the monarchy. But any big sweeping changes, I mean, that's not really even our style up here in Canada, right? We kind of go slowly. So we'll see, I guess. But I don't foresee, you know, abolishing ties with the monarchy in the next few months or anything like that.
I want to ask, the Queen's face is on Canadian currency. Is that going to change soon?
Yeah, it will. The Canadian currency will eventually feature King Charles III. The questions have been, and there have been some media stories, like, how long is that going to take? It's weird. I don't know if you guys have had this. We've recently had changes in our bills, and it often takes a little while before you actually see the new ones in circulation.
We have you for about 30 seconds left, and I want to ask, how are Canadians feeling about the wall-to-wall coverage of the Queen?
Well, I work for the CBC that is doing that wall-to-wall coverage of the Queen, so I hope they're feeling pretty good.
Great answer. That's the CBC Montreal reporter, Kate McKenna. Thanks so much for giving us a sense of how Canadians are feeling and how they're reacting to the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and going in the weeds about Canadian government.
Thank you so much.